The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We began our Lenten journey about 6 weeks ago on Ash Wednesday. Black was the color of the day. Black adorned our altar, our foreheads, and reminding us of the nature of our heart, poor miserable sinners that we are. During this time, we've had an opportunity to reflect upon God and to know Him perfectly, who He is, and what we can expect and receive from Him. Today, we are in the middle of the 3 days, the Triduum, Good Friday, the most sacred and holy day of the year. Black is on our altar again. This is the day the Son of God died. But make no mistake, it was not an accident. It was not a miscarriage of justice. Jesus willingly, freely went to the cross to become our substitute for sin once and for all. This day is rightly titled Good Friday. Not good for Jesus, good for us. Today, with our Treor service, we focus on the 7 times our Lord and Savior Jesus spoke from the cross. We begin, following our opening prayer, we begin with the reproaches. These are from the book of Lamentations and have been prayed on Good Friday for well over 1,000 years. We turn our focus to the words from the cross, and the pattern will go like this. We will hear the reading. We will sing the 3 verses of hymn 447, Jesus in Your Dying Woes, that correspond with that specific reading. We'll hear a short meditation, and then we will move on to the next reading. We'll do this 7 times, for the 7 times Jesus spoke. Following those readings, songs, and meditation, we have a hymn of reflection, offering, another hymn of reflection. Our service will close today with the Biding Prayer, another ancient prayer of the church. And at the end of the Biding Prayer, we'll pray together the Lord's Prayer. There will be no benediction today. Our service does not end. It merely continues tonight with our Tenebrae service of darkness at 7:30. You are free to stay as long as you like, to sit, to pray, to meditate, and to ponder the work that our Lord and Savior Jesus has done on our behalf. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the greatest gift the world has ever seen, the gift of Your Son, Your only Son, whom You love, King of kings and Lord of lords, wrapped in flesh and blood, born for us, born to die. Heavenly Father, words cannot express our gratitude for this great gift. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are ours because of what Christ has done for us. Heavenly Father, instill in us not only a knowledge of our sins, but a knowledge of You, perfect knowledge of You, knowing what to expect and receive from You, salvation, full and free. Heavenly Father, bless our worship today and throughout the remainder of our Holy Week. Bless us in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. We continue with the reproaches. They are spoken. Please stand as you're able.
Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have raised you up out of the prison house of sin and death, and you have delivered up your Redeemer to be scourged. For I have redeemed you from the house of bondage, and you have nailed your Savior to the cross. O my people, holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, leave us not to bitter death. O Lord, have mercy. Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have conquered all your foes, and you have given me over, and delivered me to those who persecute me. For I have fed you with my word, and refreshed you with living water, and you have given me gall and vinegar to drink. O my people. Holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, allow us not to lose hope in the face of death and hell. O Lord, have mercy. Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? My people, is this how you thank my God? Thank your God, O my people. Holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, keep us steadfast in the true faith. O Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you carried our sins in your body on the tree so that we might have life. May we and all who remember this day find new life in you and in the world to come, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The final 3 hours that Jesus spent on the cross are shrouded in darkness, and we have recorded for us 7 times that Jesus spoke. Traor, 3 hour, 3 hours, the last 3 hours of Jesus on that first Good Friday.
The first word, Luke 23. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Hymn 447, stanzas 1 through 3.
peace from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Why does the church exist? What's it here for? A social club? A way to escape from the maddening crowds or the maddening life that we live in and exist in? For some people, that's all church is. Jesus' word, His first word from the cross, teaches us why the church exists. Teaches us why Jesus came. The church exists for the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. Jesus came into this sinful world because we cannot save ourselves. Forgiveness can come from God and God alone. And it is pure gift. There are many times we literally do not know what we are doing with regard to our sin. We sin in thought, we sin in word, we sin in deed. But there are many times when we know quite well what we are doing. We sin on purpose. We know the Word of God and we ignore it or suppress it. Our sin is all around us. Sin that we know, sin that we don't know, and there is no escape. No escape from the chains of sin and guilt and shame that have us trapped. And into this world, our world of sin, Jesus comes. He lives, He suffers, He dies, He rises for one purpose. The forgiveness of sins. Jesus' word from the cross is for you. For all your sins. Past, present, and future. Those you know, and even those you don't know. Your sins are forgiven. You are free. Truly free. By the blood of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The second word. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at Him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Hymn 447, stanzas 4 through 6.
the name of Jesus. Amen. No one was saved simply by being there on Good Friday. On the cross, the blood was shed. On the cross, the price was paid. And all the evildoers, those who put him to death, even that wicked criminal, watched it happen. They saw the price paid. They saw the evil one conquered. They saw all of human history come to its climax. But even though they saw all those great things, even though that wicked thief had it all happen right next to him, they were not saved by simply being there. Salvation is won upon the tree. It is not delivered there. Even from the cross, Jesus delivers salvation through the Word. One thief, the other thief, is moved to sorrow over his sin. His cry is one of repentance. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This is the voice of repentance. This is the voice of the one who sees, who understands that it is his Savior who suffers beside him. Jesus is at that very moment paying for the sin that put that thief on the cross, along with all others. Christ's blood is poured out because he remembers each and every sinner, each and every sin, every last one. None are forgotten. None are left out. Not one sinner, not one sin. But Jesus doesn't just hang there silent saying, well, just look at me, just see the blood flowing, and then you will be saved. No, Jesus speaks the word. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The salvation he is winning at that very moment is delivered through the word. The word of absolution. The word of the gospel. This thief is assured that the salvation occurring right before his eyes belongs to him by the word of Jesus. That is how Christ works. In the proclamation of the word, in the word joined with water, bread, and wine, he says, yes, even to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today is the day of salvation. For today is the day that salvation was accomplished. And today is the day salvation is delivered. To you. To me. To all who believe. Lord, when your glory I shall see, and taste your kingdom's pleasure, your blood my royal robe shall be, my joy beyond all measure. When I appear before your throne, your righteousness shall be my crown. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Third word. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Stanzas 7 through 9.
Jesus,
of Jesus. Amen. What was the first word that you spoke? Most of us probably don't remember. But if you base it on every first word that has come out of every small child you have ever been around, you can probably guess what your first word was. No. 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 Why would that be a child's first word? Because it is the word they hear the most from mom and dad. Our lives are full of disobedience. From little on, we are doing, saying, touching, eating the wrong thing. And so a voice says, no. We're older now, right? We know the right thing, the correct thing, the righteous thing, the obedient thing. And yet, more often than not, we fail. Our world is a world of disobedience. Into this world comes the Son of God. We oftentimes talk about the suffering, the passion, the death, and the glorious resurrection of Jesus. But we fail to talk often enough about the perfect life, the righteous life of Jesus. Remember, everything Jesus does, He does for you. Jesus is righteous for you. Jesus is obedient for you. His active righteousness means that He placed Himself under God's Word, God's holy law, God's condemning Word, God's no and yes to us. And He fulfilled it perfectly. He didn't sin. Not even once. Beaten, bloodied, near death, Jesus follows the fourth commandment. He takes care of His mother. He thinks of someone else to provide for her. My friends, you are righteous because the blood of righteous Jesus covers over you. And now, in joyous response to the good news that our sins are forgiven, in joyous response to this freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, we hear God's Word and we want to do it. We hear God's Word and we get to do it. So God will love us. Absolutely not. He cannot love us any more than He has in Christ Jesus. We are free. Free to love God and to serve one another. This is Christ's gift to you. Amen.
The fourth word. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Stanzas 10 through 12.
Thank you.
the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 22 is a haunting and graphic piece of Scripture. Centuries before such a death was even invented, it describes a crucifixion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. This psalm describes the agony of a man who felt completely abandoned by God, left alone to face all the suffering that this cruel world can inflict. The cry of dereliction, this cry of complete and total suffering, begins this psalm. And it is on the lips of Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me? To be forsaken by God is not to be absent from Him. God is everywhere, even in the darkest pit of hell. To be forsaken by God is to be abandoned by His grace and favor. To be exposed, naked, and bare to His wrath. To be in hell is not to escape from God, but to escape from His love and mercy. The cry of Jesus is the cry of a man in hell. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. No love, no mercy, no compassion was shown to Jesus, even by His Father. The one who endured the devil's temptations and did not fall is given the devil's judgment. The one who kept himself pure and innocent every step of his life, that one is forsaken by God. No mercy from the Jews, his brothers. No mercy from Pilate, who he had given authority to. No mercy from his Father, who had said at the Jordan River, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." At the cross, the Father instead says, "This is sin, on whom I pour out all my wrath." O wondrous love, what have you done? The Father offers up His Son. And the Son wants to know why. He cries out for some answer, some explanation for suffering the full force of the Father's wrath. And the answer is love. God's love for you. In love for His fallen creatures. In love for you. The Father gives Jesus hell. He gives Jesus hell so that you will have heaven. He gives Jesus judgment so that you will have salvation. Jesus is forsaken so that you will be pressed to the Father's bosom forever. My God, why have you not forsaken me? Only because of Jesus. In His name, amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Hymn 400.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The fifth word, I thirst. When Jesus was crucified, He was offered a drink of wine. But when He had tasted it, He would not drink. Why did He refuse the drink first, but ask for a drink now? When Jesus suffered, He felt this thirst, and His body craved relief from it. Jesus, however, refused to satisfy the wants of His body, because the profound suffering was part of the work of atonement for the sins of the world. And only after this suffering, only after this work was finished, could He think of relieving His thirst. He refused the one because He meant to taste the full burden of suffering without having any part of it alleviated by a strengthening or stupefying drink. For the first drink that was offered was not meant to quench His thirst. The first drink that was offered was meant to numb the pain of the crucifixion. Now there is no doubt that already Jesus was thirsty for the sufferings He had undergone since the eating of the Passover on the evening before would have been cause for any human body to thirst. The rejection of the first drink was connected to the work He was about to perform. And not until this work of dying on the cross was finished in its entirety could He enjoy again the blessing of a drink. Now, however, the second. All things were finished. The prophecies of Scripture had all been fulfilled and carried out to their successful end. Nothing remained to be done. The restrictions laid on Him to carry out the work no longer remained. This word from the cross, I thirst, is the evidence, the proof, that the work He aimed to accomplish had been fully carried out, that the wrath of God was appeased, and that your salvation had been won. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to His mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to You, O Christ. Hymn 447, stanzas 16 through 18.
One can only imagine what it must have been like to worship in the Old Testament temple. The sights, the sounds, the smell. Blood everywhere. animals being paraded again and again and again. God teaching His people, there is life in the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Pigeons, doves, sheep, goats, bulls, an endless parade of blood sacrifice. But these sacrifices merely pointed forward. Pointing forward to something bigger. Something greater. The once and for all sacrifice from sin. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. These Old Testament sacrifices were repeated day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. They were never done. But the sacrifice of Jesus is different. The sacrifice of Jesus is once and for all. Jesus' cry here in John 19, one simple word in the Greek, tetelestai. It is not a, oh, it's finished. It is a victory cry. Remember, everything Jesus does, He does for you. It is finished for you. Your salvation job is done by the sinless Son of God through His perfect life, His obedient death, and 3 days later, His glorious resurrection. It is finished. Your forgiveness, your eternal life, your salvation. So, my friends, why do we keep on justifying ourselves, justifying our words, justifying our actions, as if somehow our self-justification will make us right with God? Repent. Come clean. Admit who you are and who God knows you are. A sinner. A sinner washed clean by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away your sin. It is finished. Amen.
Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, He breathed His last. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Stanzas 19 through 21.
the name of Jesus. Amen. No one takes the life of Jesus. It is not forcibly seized from him, cruelly snatched by the whims of wicked men. No, he lays it down of his own accord. He gives himself into death freely, in love, sacrificing himself for you. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Certainly doesn't seem that way, does it? He is betrayed into the hands of sinners, forcibly hauled before a sham trial, and then stood before Pilate and the violent crowd that demands his death. The soldiers mock him. They scourge him. They force him to carry his cross. He is nailed to that tree and lifted high for all the world to see, all by force. But appearances are deceiving. Jesus is in control. In one moment, with a cry of command, he could have delivered himself from this suffering, from this pain, from this humiliation. But he doesn't. He stays on that cross. And when he has endured to the full all of the Father's wrath over your sin, he gives his life up. Not one moment sooner. Not until that price is fully paid. There is not one sin that is left. Not one ounce of the Father's wrath that is left to be spent. There is nothing left for you. Not one sin, none of God's wrath. He waits until he has completed it all. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. He lays down his life freely, willingly, out of love, that deep, abiding love he has for you. He commits his spirit to his Father, the one who had sent him to bear that awful load. Go forth, my son, the Father said, and free my children from their dread of sin and condemnation. And he did, willingly, in his love for you. No one takes his life from him. He is not a victim, but a willing sacrifice. This is not coercion. It is love. Love that is free. Free to deliver, free to save. His blood flows freely, willingly, from his ruined back, his hands, his feet. In this moment, he hands himself into the Father's care, and his Father will keep him. He will vindicate him, just as he promised. The Spirit commended into the hands of the Father will return on a morning of victory, when the sun rises upon an empty tomb. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We sing our hymn of reflection, number 451, 451.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see. and rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it, 'tis the true and faithful word. Tell me, ye who sear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would intervene to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the sacrifice appointed. Sable bears the awful load. 'Tis the word the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our suffering servant, Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address. We will receive our gifts and offerings. And during the gathering of the offering and through the end of the hymn, we'll sing hymn 453, Upon the Cross Extended. Hymn 453.
Extended.
Stand for prayer.
Let us pray for the whole Christian church that our Lord God would defend her against all the assaults and temptations of the adversary and keep her perpetually on the true foundation, Jesus Christ.
Almighty and everlasting God, since you have revealed your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ, and in the word of His truth, keep, we ask you, in safety, the works of your mercy, so that your church, spread throughout the nations, may be defended against the adversary, and may serve you in true faith, and persevere in the confession of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for all the ministers of the word, for all vocations in the church, and for all the people of God.
Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified, receive the supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all your servants in your holy church, that every member of the same may truly serve you according to your calling, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
O merciful Father in heaven, because you hold in your hand all the might of men, and because you have ordained for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do well all the powers that exist in the nations of the world, we humbly pray you graciously to regard your servants, especially our President, the Congress of the United States, our Governor, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that all who receive the sword as your ministers may bear it according to your word, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray our Lord God Almighty, that He would deliver the world from all error, take away disease, ward off famine, set free those in bondage, grant health to the sick, and a safe journey to all who travel.
Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak, may the prayers of those who in any tribulation or distress cry to you graciously come before you, so that in all their necessities they may rejoice in your manifold help and comfort, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for all who are outside the church, that our Lord God would be pleased to deliver them from their error, call them to faith in the true and living God and His only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and gather them into His family, the church.
Almighty and everlasting God, because you seek not the death, but the life of all, hear our prayers for all who have no right knowledge of you. Free them from their error, and for the glory of your name, bring them into the fellowship of your holy church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for peace, that we may come to the knowledge of God's holy word and walk before Him as is fitting for Christians.
Almighty and everlasting God, King of glory and Lord of heaven and earth, by whose Spirit all things are governed, by whose providence all things are ordered, the God of peace and the author of all concord, grant us, we implore you, your heavenly peace and concord, that we may serve you in true fear, to the praise and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for our enemies, that God would remember them in mercy and graciously grant them such things as are both needful for them and profitable for their salvation.
O Almighty, everlasting God, through your only Son, our blessed Lord, you have commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. We therefore earnestly implore you that by your gracious visitation all our enemies may be led to true repentance and may have the same love and be of one accord and one mind and heart with us and with your whole Christian church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for the fruits of the earth, that God would send down His blessing upon them and graciously dispose our hearts to enjoy them according to His own good will.
O Lord, Father Almighty, by your word you created and you continue to bless and uphold all things. We pray you so to reveal to us your word, our Lord Jesus Christ, that through his dwelling in our hearts, we may, by your grace, be made ready to receive your blessing on all the fruits of the earth and whatsoever pertains to our bodily need. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Finally, let us pray for all those things for which our Lord would have us ask, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,